Hello, Art Supply Posse. Today's newest member of the posse was introduced to me by my pen friend Kathy, who you may recall also introduced me to Sarah, the creator of the 1000 Hearts movement. Thank you, Kathy, for writing to me on beautiful stationery created by our guest today, Kim Mack. Without that letter, I would likely not have come across her business and wouldn't have spent money on, yes, indeed, buying myself some more stationery. But that's how these things go. Hello, Kim. Welcome to the posse.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting.
It's my pleasure. And let's get out of the way right at the top that we both have the best name in the whole world, which is Kim, spelt properly, K-I-M, not with a Y.
It is.
How it should be.
Look, it is. I don't often say that. I usually curse that name. But when you meet another Kim, you go, oh, we really connect.
Yep, yep, definitely. most definitely. So I'm going to start with what may very well be the most important question, which is, who is Kim Mack?
Well, I'm 51 years old, perimenopausal woman. it's very key at the moment. I live on the far south coast of New South Wales on 3 acres with my husband and my adult son. He lives in the studio behind us, and a menagerie of chickens and sheep and goats, and surrounded by my garden. And what else would you like to know? Anything?
Well, you're a small business owner. I mean, that's why today.
Yes, I do. Sorry, I forgot about the business. That's right.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
I have a stationery subscription box. Yeah. And I also obviously have a shop online, and my business is called Betty May Wrote. It was called, yeah.
No, you're right. I was just going to say, it seems that you brought the name up. Let's launch straight into that, which is, because as you were about to say, you know, it was called something else, and now we have Betty May Wrote. So let's tell the listeners what it was called and then why the change, because I've read the story and I find it interesting and fascinating, and I know I'm not the only one. So let's share with the listeners why the change why it's so important to you.
Yeah, well, it was Feather and Nest. I originally started online with a blog, and it was to record my child's homeschooling journey. Lou is his name. And I kind of started just talking about, you know, recording like a diary, really, when the word blog was sort of quite foreign to me back in the early to mid-2000s, I guess. And I got into a bit of interior decorating and things like that, and I started adding in recipes and things. So I thought I needed a name that was a bit homely and family related. So Feather and Nest came up, and everyone was doing that put a bird on it thing. So so it was kind of a bit of a fad thing to have a birdie name. But as the years have gone on, and I actually stopped homeschooling once Lou grew up, and I started a business, which, you know, is a stationery business, which is only really 3 years ago now. I started to feel like that name didn't really fit anymore. But I had no idea what I would call it otherwise. So I just kept it as it was. But last year, my nan died, and my nan was really precious to me. I lost my mum when I was only 18, and my nan had always been really, you know, prominent in my life, and she became like my surrogate, you know, mum and nan. And she was the epitome of everything that I love, you know, garden and home and family and all those sorts of things. And her name was Betty, and she would have been the first person that I wrote a letter to. And she died when she was last year, 89, would have been her 90th year. And she was still writing letters, and that was the letters, of course, and phone calls. But, you know, we continued letter writing all through my life, and with her and her sister as well. And the May part came in because my nan hated her name, Betty. Mm-hmm. Absolutely hated it. And she had four other siblings, and only one of them didn't have a middle name. But her sister, the rest were brothers, her sister was the youngest, of course, and her name was Eleanor May, and Nan hated the fact that she got this plain Betty and she didn't even get a middle name, and Auntie Eleanor got this fantastic middle name and fantastic first name, da-da-da. So I threw that in for her.
Nice.
Into my business name.
Nice.
So, that's how the name came about. It's kind of in memory of Nan, but it's also that really, it's fitting to what I do now, you know, the nostalgic nature of letter writing and, telling stories and that sort of thing.
I think it's interesting because a lot of people, and I understand why, are reluctant to change their business name, you know, whether you've had it for 3 years or whether you've had it for 30. But sometimes in business you find yourself moving in a different way or just realizing that what it was no longer serves you and you're sort of slightly moving to a different avenue. And whilst it's scary and it's a big thing to have to rebrand and all those sorts of things, I think if you feel inside that it needs to change, then you just have to do it. Like there's no point, if it doesn't serve you anymore, there's no point keeping it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is exactly the journey I went through. And I tried to keep my other name because logistics of changing a business name and rebranding are a bit of a nightmare, and and I was avoiding all of that, but and it has been a little bit of a nightmare, to be honest. There's been little things that happen when when technology doesn't like your name change and you know all of that. Yeah. But on the whole, I'm really, really pleased that I changed it, and you sort of just morph into. Like life in general, you go through phases, don't you? And
yeah,
my business and my life has, so
yeah, no, it's good. Makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense. If you're changing and your business is changing, then it's okay to change the name.
Yeah. I'm still alive and breathing, so it's obviously able to happen.
That's exactly right. So I'm curious why, like you touched on your nan and her being the first person you would have wrote a letter to and that connection. But why is letter writing so important to you, do you think?
I think there's so many reasons, but it was such a huge part of my childhood. So I'm 51, so I was, a child in the 70s, the 80s, teenager in the 80s, and there wasn't, as we know, social media or really anything much. Phone calls were really expensive, and letters were just such a wonderful way of communicating and a way of sort of escaping as well. And, just like journal writing was for me too, sort of just that sharing your story and sharing snippets of, I would say an unremarkable life because but daily life, sharing those stories with another person is such a beautiful way of connecting and thinking about them receiving this letter addressed to them from across the world or, another state, whatever. It's precious, and I loved it, and it's such a big part of my childhood memory, letter writing and receiving letters. And I guess I'm a real nostalgic kind of person, and I love, going back to my memories and the past and my childhood, and I've always sort of been like that, I guess. But there was a big chunk of time when social media came in and, the internet and, all of those things, where I stopped letter writing and I really wasn't doing it. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, emails come in and texting and, everything's so quick and, there's no time to wait, it's click, everything's, the click of your fingers and whatever. So I got caught up in that. But, through my business, I've come back to letter writing and Yeah, just even talking now, I've got a smile. I just got a smile on my face because it's just such a lovely thing. And, you know, keeping letters, like I've kept so many letters, and going back to those, especially after like losing my mum and my nan and, you know, people you love, you've sort of captured them in a way through their handwriting and through their words on paper, and I've got those to go over, and, you know, it sparks memories. And I guess and the slow act of it, you know, it's totally opposite to how I live a lot, you know. I try to live a fairly slow life because that's what I find is most suitable to me. But, you know, we are in a fast-paced kind of, you know, rush all the time, and I just love that, you know, you have to take the time to stop and slow down and actually think about another person and, what they'd be interested in hearing it's good.
It's interesting you say that because myself and my husband, we've both lost our nanas. They've both died. And it is what it is. They were loved, but it's also, you know, with life there is death, and I don't mean that to sound incredibly harsh, but at the end of the day that's what life is. But the one time I always think of both of them is on my birthday, because I used to receive in the mail, I've got a post box, I used to open my post box and there would be a letter from my nana, or usually it was actually just a very small card with a scrawl, because she wrote like a doctor. Her handwriting was, she should have been a doctor. And the same with my husband's nana. She would do the same thing. Even though she lived in the same area as us, she would still send you one in the mail. And that's, I think, I miss that more than anything else, because, as you say, it's that writing. It's the, they've sat down and they've taken the time, whether it was only 5 minutes or, you know, whatever, and you don't see that anymore. And it's like, that's where I miss them the most, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. It's I think it's something we need to keep going.
Yes.
Well, you know, to engage in ourselves so that, you know, yeah, we don't lose it, because, a lot of people won't know that feeling, you know. You think about how little you get cards in the mail now, and it's just not really a thing people do.
And there's also that other aspect. I know over the years, and certainly in the last couple of years, I've read a few books, and they've all been novels, but they've been based off found letters, you know, for particular people. And you just think, you don't even think when you're writing to somebody, you don't think about what happens to that letter, whether it's kept, whether it's thrown away, whatever. But there are some, you know, just as one example, there are books in the world that may not have existed without someone finding these old letters. Like, and I just think there's, you know, you say it's the boring everyday life, which it is really, you know, it's just the minutiae of the day, but to someone in 20, 30, 40 more years' time, it may be so different to what they're experiencing, right? Like, that's important too.
Yeah, it's capturing those moments in time, and that's history, isn't it? It's how history happens. It's, you know, it's an experience, and it's recorded and it's passed down, and yeah, I love that, and I love coming across old letters. You know, they're just so intriguing. I love it. I'm a bit nosy, I suppose, too. I love to know the ins and outs of people's thoughts, and you know, it's cool.
So how do you go from being a lover of writing letters to actually starting your own stationery business? Because it is a bit of a leap, and I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, it was interesting. When I was sort of coming out of homeschooling Lou, and I was thinking, I used to be a teacher before I homeschooled, and he was homeschooled his whole life, so, you know, it was a good almost 19 years of being a stay-at-home mum and, you know, facilitator of his stuff. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? Because I needed to do something else and really change, you know, change course a bit. And I actually wrote an ebook about his his life and our decision to, you know, do what we did. And then that got me thinking, I've always loved writing. So I wrote a couple of ebooks, and they were collaborations of stories from other people and from me. And the second one that I wrote was called The Gather Table, and it was about it was really based on my nan and my mum and the experiences that I had as a child growing up with these women who were nurturers and homemakers, and you know, their love language was food. And it, you know, where that came from for me, because I've become the same myself. And it was about recipes that, you know, we really remember and hold dearly, because we've been we've eaten those foods from, you know, made by people that we've loved in the past. So, you know, yeah, it's all about that. And I thought it'd be really cool to have some recipes from just everyday people included in a little free, you know, a little free thing, so we could run them along together. And I talked to my husband, and I sort of said, oh, I don't know how to go about it really. And he said, why don't you just ask people if they'll write you a letter and send you the recipe and tell them the story behind the recipe. And I went, well, that's a really cool idea. I haven't written letters for so long. And this was pre-COVID, but it was end of 2019, so it's very timely. And I put the word out there, and I had, I think, 15 or 16 or something people, which I thought was just a huge amount of people. I put the call out, I think, onto Instagram, and I got, you know, these responses. I was so excited, and, you know, they sent me these beautiful recipes and beautiful mail and the story behind these recipes, and most of them were linked to their grandparents or their mum, you know, people in their lives, women in their lives usually. And I put it all together and sort of just gave it out to everybody who bought the book and gave it to them. And it was just a fun thing really to do. And then when that little bit finished, it was towards the end of 2019, and I thought, you know, I just don't want to let this letter writing thing go again. I've just got it back, because I wrote a letter to every one of them. And so I just started a little project called the Lovely Letters Project, and did the same thing. You know, anyone who wants to keep going with this, or anyone who wants to join, I'll organize a get together, you know, online get together, and we can exchange addresses and write to each other. And so that sort of kicked on and got going really in 2020. And the next minute COVID came, and everybody started thinking about letter writing and making sourdough and knitting and all of that stuff. So it was just the timing of it. And and because it grew, I think now I have 900 plus members in that group. It grew quite quickly, and there was that need to have affordable, unique stationery for me to have access to myself, and that's what was coming from the people who were joining it too, you know, joining the group. And of course, my son, being an artist and easy to manipulate, because I gave birth to him, that's what I say to him.
I love that so much.
the son guilt. I do pay him, everybody.
Damn.
You know what, though, he'd do it without it. He's a gorgeous boy. But yeah, so I just thought, how can I get him to sort of how can we collaborate together? And his art genre is actually it's hard to describe, but it's more dystopian graphic art, comic sort of horror type style. I'm not an artist, but
so not at all like what's on. I've got the current for our listeners' sake. Didn't subscribe, and I've got the current box, and there is not a single horrific anything. I mean, not that I have a problem with that. I quite like that. I think it's great, but that's not what's in my subscription box. Trust me, don't worry about that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I always, you know, he's always drawn. He's just from the age of, you know, 2 and 3. And it just grew and grew and grew. And he, all, you know, he went through all those phases of sharks and dinosaurs and monster trucks and, you know, swords and knights and, you know,
everything that they do.
Series they go through. And he just loves, this dystopian thing, I think. I don't know. Anyway, hopefully he doesn't need therapy over it. But he also would draw cards and paint cards, you know, for friends and my friends. And, you know, I'd say, oh, could you draw, you know. And he'd draw whatever I asked for. And you know, so he was drawing these beautiful things as well. The other stuff is great, is fantastic, but it's just, it's, you know, it's an acquired
kind of, it's a different type
and different of genre. It's fantastic. But he happens to love watercolor. That's his watercolor and fine, you know, black ink, and mm-hmm. So it. And he likes this dainty kind of work. So even with these gory kind of drawings, they've got this this whimsical feel to them. So I just felt like he had it in him to do flowers and, you know, old vintage scales and little houses with pointy roofs. I just knew he could do it, and he does. He does for me. So that's how it started.
What's that process like collaborating with him? Is it a back and forth between the two of you? Do you just say, this is what I want, and he makes it happen? Like, what's that like working with someone else?
Yeah, it is pretty much that. It's handy that we're mother and son, so, you know, there's no boundaries with me saying, I can't use that, or, you know, can you change this, or, you know, whatever. He's just really patient and whatever. So it's actually is pretty much just I say to him, you know, this is the theme that I'd like to look at. How do you feel about this? Do you think this is okay for you? He always says yes. And I give him some visuals. Usually I might go into Pinterest and have a look at some, you know, real life photos, or, you know, some other art that is sort of similar to the style that I, you know, the flowers, and, you know, the last box was called Wildflower, and it was sort of based on my Edith Holden book, which is, you know, vintage botanicals. So, yeah, I wanted it to have that vibe sort of thing. But, and he'll just go and do some sketches and come up with stuff, and then I'll, you know, on scrappy paper, and I'll have a look, and usually I say, yeah, that's fantastic. Can you stick with that? Or I might say, could you change the colour, or could you add this? But it's a really easy process, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit of nagging, to be honest, but it's pretty good. He's pretty good.
So how do you go about, like, deciding on the theme for, like, do you sit down at the start of the year and plan out? Because it's every couple of months. So is it something that's all pre-planned? Because obviously you can have the idea, but then you need Lou to make the artwork. You need to have the things printed. Like, what is that? Because I'm fascinated by this world of create, because of the fact, I guess part of it is because you're a small business. You know, you're not a great big huge company with a million trillion people at your disposal.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, and having, as I said, having my own box, you know, having received my own first box, you can see the love and the attention to detail and just the general beauty of it all. So how does that come about? Like, is it going, all right, this is a year's worth of themes, or is it less organized than that? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, it is less organized than that. I usually have I'm not even always a box ahead, to be honest. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I've got a few themes that I want to, you know, look at and think about, and I'll jot them down, put them in my little book, and think about them as I'm working on the current box. But mostly it's the boxes used to be every 3 months. Mm-hmm. Now they're every 2 months. So it's, you know, I've had to sort of pick my game up a little bit, but it's pretty much takes the whole 2 months from beginning to end of coming up with a theme. And what I usually do, like some of those themes, like wildflower, and like quite a few of the flower ones I've come up with myself because, well, spring, you know, it's a spring box.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And, you know, I could do flowers every single time, I think, because I'm a bit obsessed. but you know, yeah, I often ask the subscribers themselves, you know, what would you like? And the next box that's coming up is a box that I probably wouldn't have done if I'd got to choose myself. It's a Christmas box. But, yeah, they all... pretty much that most of them who responded to what would you like, most of them said we'd love a Christmas box. It's coming out in November. And I went,
well,
okay.
I'm putting my vote in for a dystopian box, please.
I might be the only one
that wants it, but hey.
You might be. we'll put it out there.
Yeah.
That might be it, though, for my subscription.
You never know. You never know.
You don't know. I think it'd be awesome for the right people for sure. But yeah, so yeah, it would. No, he's pretty clever. Yeah.
Are you printing these at home? Are you making the stickers yourself at home? Like, how is that process done? Because I'm fascinated by the whole thing.
Yeah, all of the printing used to be done outside of the home. So Lou would, you know, it would start with my, you know, ideas, and then Lou would do the drawings, and then I'd get them and we'd turn them into a digital, you know, thing to be printed. And then I would outsource to a local printer here. The writing paper and the cards, the postcards, and some of the, you know, other little bits and pieces that I'd put in there, recipes and things. But now I've bought a sticker machine, and we don't have the best relationship, but it normally gives in and does the right thing at the end, but it's like always a stressful time when I'm dealing with it. But so I print those out myself on sticker paper and use the machine, you know, to cut them out. So there's that. And the last box I actually printed myself, the paper. I get some beautiful paper from a company in Western Australia, and I felt like my printer could handle the whimsically, you know, pastels of the wildflower. So I printed the writing paper, but I outsource the printing of the cards. Yeah.
It's a bit stunning. The paper is stunning. Like when I held it, when I first opened the box and held it in my hand, I was just blown away by the quality. It just feels beautiful. Like it feels perfect. It feels like the right weight and the right texture for what you want it to do. And it, yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Oh, that's lovely. I'm really glad.
So, yeah, so you
it's
also
a lovely company.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get their name.
Peterkin. Shout them to the rooftop. Yeah.
So you do also. Awesome. You do also a digital subscription as well, which is fascinating, because on the one hand you have all these beautiful products that, you know, people can purchase, subscription boxes and things, but then there is a recognition of digital only. So talk me through that.
That's very new. That started in June. And it's a monthly thing at the moment. So it is very new, and it's a concept that's been brewing for a little bit. It stemmed from mainly from people. There's in the Lovely Letters group, there's quite a few people from the US and the UK and Canada. And they just wanted, I think they wanted to be a part of the Tea and Toast Club, which is the subscription box. But expensive postage is just outrageous. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it cost them the same price as the box to send it. So, you know, it was something that I thought, and so they were asking me, would I do a digital version, different themes, but the same sort of thing. So, yeah, I've started doing that, and It is really different because it's digital and, yeah, it's a different experience. But the process is exactly the same. It's just we don't get to the print stage. You know, that's the kind of thing that they need to just have a printer themselves and they can use whatever paper they choose and they have access to it, you know, all the time when they're a member. So, yeah, they've sort of got this limitless supply of paper and cards and things. But, yeah, we'll see how that one goes. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm thinking of myself and my own letter writing, and it's always difficult to, well, I think it is, it's always difficult to find beautiful writing paper. Like, you know, I'm 46. When I remember being a kid and a teenager, and you could go into the local news agents and guaranteed there would be several boxes of stationery sets, like, you know, paper and envelopes.
Yeah.
And okay, there might not have been a very big choice of designs, but there was certainly a few options. Now it feels like there's nothing, at least the last time I looked years ago. And the other thing to that is it's not catering for everyone's taste. Like getting back to Lou and his preference of like his genre, there would be a market for people who would want that as a writing set. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and the fact, because, of, you know, let's be, not that there's anything wrong with floral, but it was always a certain type of floral. There wasn't a great deal of variety. And the beautiful thing about your digital subscription, or just even just general, you know, broadening that out to digital letter writing, you know, papers and things, is it just allows for so much more variety and it allows for everybody's taste to be met. As opposed to, look, here's your selection. If you don't like it, too bad.
Yeah.
You just have to write on plain paper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and look, the same said for, you know, the printed version that people get in the mail. It's that there's just not a lot of there's not a lot of option out there from Australian, you know, and at an affordable price. Because you want letter writing to be, I want letter writing to be accessible to everybody. You know, postage is expensive enough. You want people to be able to have things that they can just grab and use and feel lovely using, but it's not going to, you know, it's going to break their bank. So yeah, there's room for more, I feel.
Yeah, most definitely. So I'm curious to know, let's say, you know, someone is keen to sit down and write a letter, whether it's to somebody they know or perhaps they might, you know, join. Is your letter writing club still open? Can people join still? Yeah.
Somebody
who joins and they've never written to anybody before, what could tips and things could you offer them?
Well, I've just recently talked about the small things in life and how the small things are often the big things, you know, in our life, the things that we, you know, really look forward to, like the first roses coming out or, you know, the birds that come to be fed every day, you know, just from the paddock and the smell of baked bread and, you know, all those really simple things that everybody can relate to. And I think talking about and writing about those things, the things that make up your life, they're easy to write about. They're relatable. Everybody knows what it's like to, you know, not everybody, but, you know, the majority of people know, can experience, doesn't matter where they live and it doesn't matter, you know, how much money they earn and whether they're retired or not. They experience the sunset and they experience the sound of rain on a roof and, you know, the smell of jasmine and, you know, the hug of a young child, like those things and how they make you feel. And when you talk about happy things like that, you're often able to write and write and write. And if you think about the simple things and the things that make you feel happy and you think about the senses, you know, what do those things smell like and how do they make you feel and, you know, describing what something looks like, you know, thinking about a peach, you know, the ripe peach, the first ripe peach of the season. And there's so much I could write about that peach, you know, what it looks like and how it smells and, you know, how it tastes and the feelings and the texture of the sticky juice running down your hand. And The memories, you know, that you get when you taste a homegrown peach as opposed to something you buy in a supermarket. Like, I don't know, I could write 4 pages on that. But I feel like, sometimes people get a little bit worried about what to write about. It's a really natural reaction. And particularly if they haven't written letters for a long time or they've never written letters. And particularly when it's a pen pal situation where they haven't met the person, because, you know, I match people up with people they've never met before. Mm-hmm. And it changes from month to month. So, yeah, but those things are, you're able to connect with people through those things. Most people have experienced those things. And when you talk about experiences that you can relate to, it's a way of connecting in itself. Yeah. And, that's where I suggest people start, you know, just the simple things. You don't have to talk about big adventures and massive careers that you have and, you know, whatever. It can be just the mundane. Yeah.
So I'm curious to know, where is your favourite place to write a letter? Because, you know, you said you have, and I've seen some of the images on your Instagram and things and in your newsletter, your property has some beautiful, beautiful places. Where's your favourite spot for you to sit down and write a letter? And is that different to where you would read a letter? Or is it all one and the same?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I would say there's two favourite places. One is definitely in the garden. And it's usually in my veggie garden. I've got raised garden beds, so they're mm-hmm. railway sleepers. So I sit there. It's not like a comfy chair or anything, but I often sit there. It's just it makes me feel good being in there. And I usually pop my sunnies on, and that would be where I read letters a lot if it's not raining and whatever. But the other place, is where I just sit at my dining table and I can see outside. I can see the birds. The fairy wrens often hang right outside that window, and there's the roses, and I can see beyond the garden, and I just love being able to look into nature, and it just makes me feel really inspired. And so that's where I love to write and write a letter. And I would mostly, I always light, you know, a scented candle, and I pour a cup of tea, and I make it really a nice experience because I'm rushing around for the rest of the day, you know. It's just an opportunity to just slow down and do it. And I really need to slow down to be able to think, you know, about putting those words onto paper. So, yeah, I make it a bit of a ritual. But, they would be the two places. I don't write so much outside because it's a little bit hard to with the lighting, but I love reading my letters outside. But I always, when I get my letters out of I see those letters in the mailbox, I always wait for the right moment. I don't rip them open because I want to really experience, you know, the mm-hmm. the experience and treasure
it. Yeah, I do the same. There's something, I mean, it's a joy to open the mailbox and see a letter, but it's even more joyous to actually do what you said and, like, find the right moment, whether that is making a cup of tea or a coffee or having a biscuit or just sitting in your favourite comfy seat or whatever it is. Like, and I think that is just part of the whole thing is as you say, it's slowing down and stopping. Mm-hmm. But part of doing that, I think, helps cement that lovely moment in your mind. Like, if that makes sense, like you've taken your time, even if you're not aware, what you're doing is you're giving yourself permission to sit down and relax for a moment and have whether it's 5 minutes or 30 minutes of just time to yourself, because you've got this letter to either write or read. And there's something pretty special about that.
Yeah, there is. Well, we really don't do it any other time, do we?
No.
Even reading books have become something that people don't do anymore. So yeah, it's, I love that about it. For sure.
Kim, this has been such a lovely chat. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we close?
Um I think we've covered a lot, haven't we, Kim?
We have. We absolutely
I've been rambling on for a long time.
No, you have not at all. Lovely. There's been no rambling at all. It's been quite a lovely, lovely conversation. So I guess you. Probably the best thing to end with is, where is the best place for people to find you online so they can see what you're doing, they can check out the Tea and Toast subscription boxes and everything. Where's the best place to go?
So I have a website, which is BettyMayWrote.com, mm-hmm. and that takes you to the boxes and, the letter writing group as well. And the letter writing group is called The Lovely Letters Project, is a free group to sign up to, so you can sign up there, and it's a great place to start signing up to that, just getting into letter writing and starting the conversations around letter writing. And I'm a big Instagram person, so at Betty May Wrote on Instagram is where I'm often found. So there's lots of stuff on there. And yeah.
Fabulous. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kim. I really appreciate you taking the time out. This has been such an inspiring conversation. I really would just want to stop everything else that I need to do and just do some letter writing. But anyway, that's a whole other story. These things happen.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, thank you, Kim. It's been really lovely.
Oh, my pleasure.
If we were to provide you with some PayPal details or perhaps Buy Me a Coffee details, would you be interested in making a one-off payment to support us? In return, you'd be helping to keep the podcast going and would also get access to our bonus episodes. Let me know what you think via Kim at artsupplyposse.com or via Instagram.